You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kawula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to Wake Up Hollywood. How's everybody doing out there? Good, I hope.
Hello.
If Nikhil sounds weird, that's because he's stuck in traffic like an L.A. douchebag.
I am stuck in traffic. I've been in traffic for hours.
Such a douche.
The things I do just for radio.
It's sad that Nikhil isn't in studio right now, but the upside is no horrible soundboard from him. So that's great news.
That'll be there in a couple minutes.
That's great news for everybody.
For all you listeners that love the soundboard, it's coming. I'm bringing it. I'm driving like I have a liver to be delivered for surgery. Yeah,
there's nothing. Let it die. Let it rot.
I'm here for the gangbang.
How was your week, Eddie?
My week was good. I went to see live music.
You what?
I went and saw live
music.
Who
are you? What have you done with my co-host?
I don't know what happened. I got free tickets to the Hollywood Bowl, so can't turn that down.
Well, who did you see?
The Pixies.
Oh, dude, how was that? That was like last night or two nights ago, right?
Sunday night. It was sold out.
Dude, that was with Gogo Bordello and
yeah, that's quite the band.
Did you like them?
They're very loud.
I think they suck. We played Bonnaroo with them, and they were just obnoxiously loud and very European.
They put a lot of energy into what they do. I will give them that.
Yeah, there's definitely conviction, but that doesn't mean...
Are they nice guys? Much. Or are they obnoxious offstage?
I haven't met Gogo Bordello offstage, but, man, every time I've seen them play, we played a couple festivals with them, I just get annoyed. I just instantly get annoyed.
They're very big.
This is annoying music to listen to.
They're very big. Well, the lead singer guy does something I think you should incorporate into your live performances.
What's that?
He removes an article of clothing after every song.
Oh, that's awesome.
So by the time he got to his last song, he was just in pants.
That's sexy.
So I think
that is mass sex appeal right there.
So next House of Blues show, I think you need to layer up.
But dude, that means he's probably like in his 50s now, right?
Well, he's got the six-pack of a 20-year-old.
If you do say so yourself.
If I do say so myself.
Your binoculars were aimed right at his six-pack.
It was hypnotic.
Tell the truth, Eddie. You're looking over my chair, missing me right now.
No, because there's been a horrible, like, stupid sound effect right now of a rooster or something. And I don't have to hear that.
It's coming. It's coming your way. It's only... maybe an exit or two away. I'm our first call-in, aren't I?
You are the first call-in ever, and it's sad because you're one of the hosts.
Wait a minute. I'm the first caller that has actually gone through, because we've had a couple calls.
You're a long-time host, first-time caller, is what you should have said.
Well, so what else did you do with your week? You went and saw live music. Super chipper all week, and you started taking ballet lessons.
I did. And I went to the L.A. County Fair. So I have my fill of human
beings. Who are you right now? I don't even know who you are.
I have my fill of human beings for a while.
Man, you went to the fair, you went and saw live music.
Look, when you're married and you have a child and your wife starts planning things, at some point you just like, all right, whatever. You just go along with it. And
it's like riding a giant wave, right?
I'd rather be on the wave.
Did your kid like the LA County Fair?
Yeah, but it's expensive as ball. Like, I'd rather go to like Disney World or Legoland or Knott's Berry Farm, because they trick you with like, hey, it's only $11 to get in, You get in, you're like, okay, and now it's $15 to buy tickets to ride rides, and then it's like another $30 to eat food. So by the time you get do anything there, you've already dropped like $80.
And it's not—they're not good rides.
They're okay rides. They're okay for a fare, but it's just like it's not. You know, I'd rather go to a park, an amusement park.
And the food's gross. It's like fried Twinkies, double fried.
They have fried everything. Like they froze Klondike bars or fried Klondike bars. I don't know how you do that, but they did it.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, pretty
and you know what? Every time I've seen or gone to a fair, there's always something new and obnoxious that they add to the fried menu.
They had chocolate-covered bacon strips, which were pretty awesome.
Jesus, dude. Like, how are people not dead?
Oh, you couldn't eat there more than one day or you would die. You would die after... If you were, like, trapped at a county fair and you had to survive in the county fair, you'd die of a coronary in, like, 3 weeks.
What about the people that work there? You gotta wonder. It's like, those people are probably just dying by the hundreds, the thousands, millions.
So gross.
And you know what? Fair people are kind of like, they're kind of weird. They're definitely weird. It's kind of like the circus, but not as cool or extravagant.
What'd you do this week?
What did I do this week? I traveled to Birmingham, Alabama.
For what?
I went to a birthday party. I went to a bunch of restaurants. I saw some live music. I kind of had a crazy... It was actually like a fun weekend.
That's cool. The whole band, yeah. Or just did you acoustic sets?
No, I didn't go there to play. I just went for a leisure trip just to go see a different kind of
But you just did that the week before. You went to St. Louis the week before.
Well, that was frequent flyer miles.
You have too much.
I've actually been getting frequent flyer miles a bunch lately. So I've been going on some trips. You know, up to no good, really. Just doing some personal fun trips. Why not? Right? So you can do that as a bachelor, Eddie. I know you're just like, how is he? What?
But that's I thought you live with your girlfriend. You live with your girlfriend. How are you? Does she know you're a bachelor?
Yes.
So she's aware of your bachelor status?
If you're not married, you're still a bachelor.
So you're still single? You consider yourself single? Have you told her this? Is your Facebook status still single?
No, we actually went to her dad. It was his 80th birthday party.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? And they had a surprise birthday party for him. And it was insane. It was awesome, actually.
He survived?
I survived. That was the first time I met him, actually.
No, he survived.
Pretty crazy. Has he survived?
Well, you shouldn't surprise an 80-year-old person on their birthday. Like, you could kill them.
That's terrible.
It's true.
You shouldn't say that. Don't damn them.
I've already
don't
said I didn't damn anybody. I'm just saying you should be careful about what age you surprise people. That's all.
No, I mean, it was pretty awesome, and they planned it really well. Like, they told him they were taking him to a casino, and I think he was really jazzed about gambling, and then
and they took that away from him.
He came to
his
daughter's backyard, and we had like a little barbecue, and it was cool. It was pretty awesome.
So you guys, he was all excited about gambling, and you ripped that away from him.
And you know what? I was making jokes about it the whole time. I was like, I bet he was so excited to gamble.
I would, you know how pissed
he got family.
I would have been so pissed if I was told I was going gambling, and I ended up going to someone's backyard for a crappy birthday party.
But it's your birthday party.
Still, I'd rather be gambling.
Yeah, gambling is pretty fun. Let's be honest. Gambling is
especially at 80.
Yeah, but when you're 80, it's like, you know, does it really matter? Does it matter if it's a casino or if it's a birthday party? It's all pretty much the same at that point.
Yeah. You're 80. What does it matter if you see these people ever again? Your family, you're like, whatever. I don't need
but
this
it was
party.
You know, it was funny. There was somebody with dementia there. That's funny.
Is it you?
But I think I introduced myself like two or three times just to make sure she didn't know me and knew me at the same time. That's cool.
Maybe you're just pretty forgettable.
I should have introduced myself as somebody different every time. That's terrible. That's something you would do. I could see it. I could see you doing it.
You got to have fun with these people.
Dude, I'm like, going crazy with how much traffic there is. Did you have traffic on the way over here? Tell us about what you saw.
Well, they shut down the 101 going north and south, right around Universal City. Both ways are shut down completely. I don't know what happened.
That's pretty obnoxious.
Maybe it was Ebola.
Ebola.
Ebola's in the United States now. Did you see that?
You know, that's some bullshit. You see what I did there?
Yeah, I saw you stretching really hard for a joke. I saw what you were doing there. Like, really,
dude,
really pulling
I'm
hard.
Missing my doorbell because I want to introduce Sean with the doorbell.
No.
You'll have to wait because I'm about to park.
I might just introduce him as you're walking in the door so you can't do the doorbell.
Somehow, some way, I'm going to get the doorbell and the rooster in as I do at every show, Eddie. To your dismay.
It doesn't
to
matter.
Your dismay. I'm like breaking traffic laws left and right to get to this radio show.
I thought you were parking.
You see me.
I thought you were parking.
I'm about to. I'm actually getting off of Woodman right now.
Okay, so you're not near parking. 2 seconds ago you said you were parking, and now you're not even, you're
I
still
said
on
I'm
the
a,
highway.
I said I'm about to park.
That's
I'm
not
about
to park. You're about to get off the highway is what you're about to do. Now where are you?
Pretty much.
This is
dude,
riveting.
That was a pretty nifty idea to have me call in.
This is so riveting radio.
Like as if we're right next to each other.
Well, I just had a huge list of all the things I don't like about you. I was just going to read on the air, but since I can talk to you on the phone, I might as well do that.
You made a list?
Oh, it's a huge list.
I bet it's small. I bet it's just like...
It's only small
because...
It's only small because I had to write it so small to fill up the paper. I didn't want to run out of room.
How is your kid in kindergarten? Is he enjoying it? Is he enjoying homework?
Yeah, he loves it. He loves school. He loves
school? I don't know if I ever loved school. I don't think I ever loved school.
Really?
You loved school? You loved learning?
No, I hate school. I hate structure of any kind.
Yeah, that's why I grew to dislike it.
That's why I'm a comedian.
As soon as I had somebody telling me what to do. I mean, my kindergarten, I remember I had a pretty teacher, but I remember...
Yeah, you told me that before.
She used to play the Carpenters.
You told me that before. You had the hots for your teacher in kindergarten.
I had the hots for my teacher in kindergarten. I ain't gonna lie. But you know what was weird? During nap time, she'd play the Carpenters. Man, that's some creepy music to try and take a nap to.
Which song?
I don't know if you've ever listened
which song by
to
the Carpenters?
Oh, I don't know which song it was. I mean, they all sounded like creepy and weird.
Are you still on the highway?
I'm just exiting right now.
Okay, so you like now it's been like 3 minutes since you said you were getting ready to park.
But that's how bad traffic is. You see,
you know what I'm saying? You don't tell someone you're getting ready to park when you're not near the parking lot.
But I'm about to exit, and then I'm about to park.
True or false?
I'm close to parking.
True or false? When you said you were getting ready to park, you were still on the 101. True or false?
True.
Okay. So you weren't.
But I wanted you to feel like I was closer than I was. It's my tactic, Eddie. It's my tactic.
But seriously,
traffic today. I don't know what's going on, but there was even an event in downtown LA, and I couldn't believe how crazy traffic was. Just to get out of the freeways and to still see it on like surface streets in downtown LA. Like every freeway I've been on tonight has been nonstop traffic left and right. Hello?
That's riveting radio.
I feel like I should do like a little traffic report. Like, oh, I'm on 405, there's an accident on the road. Those guys always mumble. You can't understand a fucking word they say.
I'm glad you found this forum to express those views.
Well, you know, it's good for our listeners to know that this isn't just.
I have a question.
What's your question?
Are you still on the 101?
No, I'm exiting right now. I'm literally about to park.
You've been exiting. You've been exiting for at least 3 minutes now, or 4 minutes. Possibly
five. I am literally turning left on the Woodman. And I'm going to be there. And I just told our listeners where our radio station is.
It's not that hard to find. They can go on the website.
Oh, I didn't know that. It's on the website?
I think the location of the studio is on the website.
I'm not sure
why,
if it is.
It's not a secret location we broadcast from. It's like we're not... This isn't pirate radio.
All right. I'm pulling in right now. I'm signing off. Ugh. Eddie, take over for right now, okay?
Great. Well, that was Nikhil on his phone in his car lying about where he was the whole time. So we're actually sitting here with the guest. The guest made it. Nikhil did not. You can say hi if you want.
Hi,
there he is. What's your name? So we just met in the elevator.
We literally met in the elevator on the way up.
Here's Sean.
Sean.
What's your...
It's Eddie.
Yeah,
Sean Jones.
Sean Jones, Eddie yes. Pence. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as
well. We've been within a 3-foot radius of each other for about the last 15, 20 minutes, and we just learned each other's names.
But I think we share a lot of things, both a hatred for Nikki.
Extreme hatred for Nikki. Almost a resentment that he's around, that I continue to associate with him.
Well, we can keep talking about him for about another 2 minutes.
I would love to bash him. I think we should bash him while when he comes in.
I think that's a great idea.
And throughout the duration of the show. When did your hatred for Nikhil start?
Probably when I started working with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
I didn't know him before then. But
what do you do for Nikhil?
I'm an engineer for him.
Sound engineer?
Yes.
Okay. That's got to be awful.
Well, sometimes it's great. Sometimes it's awful.
Yeah. I edited videos for him one time.
Ooh, how was that?
He brought me... It was like he did some acoustic show in Tucson, and it was just him and it was like, what, two other guys, and he brought me the video, and I did the video fine. I'm fine with that. And he's like, hey, you think we could mix the sound a little bit? I'm like, okay. And he brought like 8 tracks of audio, like all the instruments and trying to mix everything. It took like 9 months for me to do this because I wasn't even doing it on a sound program. I was doing it on an editing program.
On a video editing program
because I'm not a sound editor. Or engineer, or whatever you would call it, and it took forever, and something that probably should have cost him thousands of dollars, I did for like $200.
Same thing for me, actually.
Yeah, so Nikhil finds a way to get you to do things that you don't want to do.
But then when it turns out good at the end, he'll tell you how you just had to trust him.
Yeah, you just had to trust him, and then, it's amazing, so.
But we're missing the sound effects right now.
I have... A couple. I have this one. This is my favorite.
God damn it!
That's my favorite one. Nikhil brings his in. They're just terrible. They're just awful. They're like, just awful.
I'm here for the gangbang.
That's a funny one.
That's a good. Where'd you find those?
I just took them off movies and stuff.
Oh, there he
is. Here he comes. Here he comes. Just awful. Just terrible.
Slacker!
We were just ripping on you for the last.
Hear that? I was getting booed. Studio audience,
boom.
Brutal.
Yeah, real brutal.
Dude, this is for traffic today. Traffic in Los Angeles.
Sean and I were just going off on you.
Wait, hold on. Looks like we have our...
No, he's already been here. He's already been introduced. We already talked. We already discussed how much we don't like you.
It's all in. The jury's in. So, dude, that was gnarly. Did you have... You didn't have any traffic. You're right around
the... Where are you right now? Are you still on the 101?
I'm just about to exit.
Okay.
I'll be there soon.
Are you parking right now?
I am. Yeah, see? You're seeing through my... You're foiling my plan.
Jeepers! Plan?
So, Sean.
Hey, Nikki. How you doing?
So how are you?
Sean was telling me how much he disliked working for you.
Dude, did we all wear black shirts tonight?
We did.
Yeah.
Why would you ask that question when it's visible?
Well, but I mean, because I can't see your shirt. It could be a yellow polka dot bikini for all I know. I just see a little black collar. Looks like you're wearing like a Raiders shirt. Anyways.
It's definitely not a Raiders shirt.
We got the memo. Wear the black shirt. Tonight.
Black shirt memo.
Black shirt.
Do you have your camo shorts on?
No. Yep. I see that you, because I usually wash my shorts every week.
Yep.
So, Sean, thank you for being here on time. I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
I was late.
No problem.
Did Eddie already start the questions about music and all that good stuff?
Oh, I know nothing about music. No. We were more commiserating.
We just met each other, but we bonded over our hatred.
We parked next to each other, rode up in the elevator together. Came into the door to the studio together, and then like, oh wait, we're doing the same show. We should talk.
Does Eddie hold your hand too when he goes up the elevator? No.
We just got really awkward. Each held the lady's hand though that was in the elevator.
We did.
Oh,
I was gonna help her. With
There's gonna be a lot of that. I gotta make up for all the time I missed.
It was such a nice show before you got
here. I know.
Such a pleasant show. Such a pleasant show.
You can feel the love, Eddie. You're just like radiating onto my fucking chair.
God damn it!
So, Sean, you are a recording engineer extraordinaire and drummer extraordinaire, right?
Yes, and I also am a professional barista.
And a photographer, and a
screenwriter. Mm. And a jack of all trades in Los Angeles.
Just say you're an actor.
Where do you barista? Cool.
Barista at my apartment mostly. Nice. I got an espresso machine.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, absolutely love it.
I love a good espresso.
Yeah.
You said espresso. I think you said espresso.
No, I said Nespresso.
Nespresso.
Nespresso is the machine that makes espresso.
I have a,
and he called me out once before saying that I say espresso, and espresso. I don't.
He likes calling people out on the way they talk.
I do. I like to make fun of people. This is what I do.
Yeah.
It's bad.
It's a lot of deflect. Terrible. Nikhil deflects a lot.
Hey. Now the show can begin.
So that means people, because he's put both of them in there, we can disconnect his
iPad. Can pull that out.
That's
now.
That's it.
Right?
We can
pull that out. I'm all done. You got him
done. I fulfilled my quota.
You got both of them. Yeah.
So, Sean, tell us how you got into music. Tell us how you got into playing drums. Tell us how you got into recording. Give us, give us a rundown. A
little rundown. Into music, both my parents are professional musicians.
What do they play?
My father is a classical percussionist, and my mom is a classical pianist.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I was just raised around it, and I decided this might be a good idea to play jazz drums. What a great idea, right?
Like, let's raise, what a way to set myself up for life.
Yeah. Let's be a jazz musician. So I went to the University of North Texas and decided to be a jazz musician. While I was there, I actually picked up recording and started recording all the jazz holes. That's what I like to call them.
The jazz holes. I love that.
They're jazz musicians.
Dude, you have to define that, because I know what you mean, but you have to define it for our listeners.
Like,
because
people think Nikhil's a jazz hole.
I'm pretty much the biggest jazz hole you've ever seen.
It's actually a name that one of my ex-girlfriends gave jazz musicians in Denton, Texas, because they're just so arrogant about music, and especially jazz, that they're assholes. And, you know, being jazz musicians, jazz they're hole. Jazz hole.
Makes perfect sense.
That's totally perfect. And that is so true. I hate to say it, but it is.
It is. So I fell out of the jazz hole-ism and decided to get into recording and production and mixing. And that's why I moved out to L.A. And, you know.
To make the big bucks. To make the tens of dollars, as you say.
As he's going to steal all my lines as I make the tens of dollars. Yeah.
I'm a comic. I'm well aware with the tens of dollars.
We're swimming in it. We're swimming in it. Mm. So you went to North Texas. Tell us what that was like. I know Don Henley went there. Tell us some of the musicians that went to school there.
Recently, let's see. Nora Jones she went to school there. She did not graduate.
Foiled again.
And well, there's a lot of just like Don Henley went there but did not graduate.
Yeah, he did not graduate.
And he did not get accepted into the music program either.
He was like an English major.
English major.
Right?
Yeah.
Stupid.
That's crazy. That's nuts.
Little did they know.
The music program at North Texas and just the music environment is absolutely great. It's one of the largest music schools in the country, except for Berkeley, I believe, around 2,000 students in the program. And so you're just surrounded by musicians, and it's absolutely great. I learned so much just from being around other musicians my age, not just the teachers.
I think that's the most important part of a music school, more than the professors, is the people that you're in school with. You learn and you feed from that, you know, that energy and that vibe.
And it was a very great environment for me, too, because with that many music students, there was no recording program, so there was a need for people to record music.
How can you not have a recording program at a music school?
I don't know.
That's weird.
They're a little bit set back in their ways. They're still all about big band out there still, too.
Whoa, really? Yeah. Wow.
Which it does have an incredibly good big band program.
Eddie thinks Pearl Jam's a big band.
They're a huge band.
Actually, by the way, you know they're a Dallas-based band, right?
Pearl Jam from Mother Love Bone? Or?
Dude, Eddie, you're failing. What? I thought you were a fan.
I'm not a fan. I'm not that big of a fan, apparently.
She's soiled again.
Soiled again?
Foiled again.
You're an idiot. Soiled again.
I was just talking about your camouflage shorts.
Such an idiot.
All right, so you got into recording because you're recording in school.
Absolutely.
And then you came out to LA. Tell us what that transition was like.
It was the scariest transition I ever went through in my life so far, because I was making an incredibly good living in the Dallas area, playing music and recording. And then I'm moving out to LA where they don't need another drummer and they don't need another recording engineer or mixing engineer. So it's kind of like, what am I getting myself into? It's probably very similar to being like
it's like being a comic, anything here. It's like, oh, we don't need another one of those.
We already have a million of them.
We have a billion of everybody.
Yeah, that literally do your job just as good, if not 10 times better.
But everybody's like, I can do it better.
Well, you just want to come out. You want to be with the best. You want to try to be, you know, unless you want to associate yourself with the best. So that's why, you know, the drive is to come out here.
It was really beautiful, Eddie.
Are you high? Were you like hotboxing in the car?
No.
What is wrong with you?
As I've learned, really Nick, he doesn't smoke anymore.
He's like loopy.
Anymore. No, I was just listening to what you were saying about coming to L.A. I'm an L.A. boy, so I'm like, yeah, I've heard it all before. I have a dream. I want to make art better. That's the idea. We're all here for that.
Basically. To make art better?
Yeah, I think so. And we're doing a terrible job at it because so far
right now, we're not doing anything to improve talk radio. I'll tell you that. We're actually setting it back.
Jeez, seriously. Mm. You're embarrassing me. Eddie. All right, so you got into recording. And you came to L.A. And did you start by playing? Like, did you do jam sessions? Did you do recording sessions first?
When I first got out here, and what I think the biggest, what has been made me most successful is my connection with just the North Texas community. Hmm. Almost every gig I've gotten has been connected with someone who was a North Texas alum.
That's awesome.
So I just would cold call a bunch of the North Texas alumni, and they'd all go out to coffee. And then through then, I met a huge network of musicians, not just through North Texas. And, you know, it's kind of spiraled from there.
That's awesome. So you've been recording with some pretty awesome musicians. Tell us who you've been working with.
Well, of course, producer
Nikhil.
No, but I mean,
that's called,
I wasn't talking
that's
about
fishing.
I wasn't Nikhil. Talking about me. Fishing. I was actually okay. He actually has some great names that he's been recording.
Well, I've worked recently within the last year with modern pop star Ariana Grande.
Indeed.
Let's see, who else? Moby.
He's dope.
Yeah, he's pretty dope. Who else? Tayo Cruz. Frank Ocean. So, and there's been a huge array. I did a session with Leonard Cohen, which was absolutely great.
That's dope.
Yeah.
What did you do for that session?
I was the assistant engineer, and so I just got to basically almost be a fly on the wall and
that's
get people
awesome.
Coffee when they needed it. You know,
but like, what was his, like, did he do vocals? Was he doing guitar?
He was the producer on the session.
Oh, wow.
Actually. So he was very laid back, and he actually gave many non-comments as much as I like to. At one point, he said, make this sound like every other piece of music you've ever heard. Just like,
such
bringing
direction.
In the money.
Such, yeah.
Such direction.
And I'm like, if this is what it means to be a producer, sign me up.
That's awesome.
You know?
I can talk in circles
yeah,
all
you
day can, long.
Yeah, you'd be like, man, I really heard what you were trying to do.
But was he being serious or was he being facetious?
He was being a little bit facetious, okay. But it kind of lightened the mood with everything, you know? So it was, yeah, that was a fun session.
That's awesome. And who else? Who else have you been working with? What was Tayo Cruz like?
That was fun. That was actually just a live show with him that we were doing a benefit. I forgot what the exact benefit was for, but it was in Century City, and he just did a set. And then actually right afterwards, Elton John did a set, which was truly amazing
that's
to get to
awesome.
See him play. It was a solo piano set.
Oh, my God. That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's insane. Did you do sound for that, too?
No, I didn't do sound for that, just for Tayo.
Okay. That's amazing. Wow. Incredible stuff. Eddie wow. dresses like Elton John. That's his main muse for
that's
fashion.
How I get around. That's what I try to.
So did you also start playing on sessions? Did you play a lot of drum sessions?
Actually, surprisingly, I don't. I play a lot of drums still, but whenever I've done recording, it's almost always been from the engineering, mixing, or producing side. It kind of just turned into this thing where everyone, especially when I was in Texas, there were so many great drummers, but right. no one was engineering or mixing. So all the time, people always called me to do that, and it's kind of been the same thing since I've been out here too.
Right.
And to be quite honest, there's not many drum gigs left for session work as much. So it's like
because of all the electronic music and all that.
Yeah, just the electronic, and like every great drummer that I've ever heard of still lives in LA and is still playing. And
they're trying to compete with all the
yeah,
new,
they're
the
still
new
doing
bloods.
It. Yeah, yeah. So it's it's a big market.
Now, one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on the show was you have a studio that you work out of, and I wanted you to plug that a little bit. Talk to us about how you built the studio, how that came about.
Yeah, I share a studio with a great engineer and producer named Ethan Carlson, who actually is how I met Nikki, and we're just right down the road here in Studio City. And it was just kind of a happen chance. I met Ethan at a studio we both work at called Stag Street Studio, and
that's where I do all my vocals.
Yep.
Great
and that's
studio.
Where you met Ethan.
That's right.
And so Ethan had a space that he shared with another engineer named Tony Shepard, and Tony decided to move out, and he was looking for someone else. And it just seemed like a very good bond with the gear that we had and our personality, so we decided to build the studio together.
Partner up. Yeah. Well, let's hear something that you've been working on. We're going to play some tracks that Sean's been... What do you play? Is this something that you engineered? Is this something you played
These on? Are actually all things that I've mixed.
Okay, cool.
As of lately. Awesome. And some of them I did engineer as well, too.
You guys talk. I'm going to go get Ronan.
Okay. I thought you were like, I'm going to go to the bathroom real quick. All right, so while we're getting that set up.
Technical difficulties. We're trying to figure out how to use the CD player.
Is it just fucking up?
I don't know. I just don't think any of
it. It's not even that funny. It's not. Seriously. It's just a gear problem. Just a gear problem. Eddie's not happy with that little sound bite. So you engineer how many days a week? How do you get engineering work? How are you looking for artists? Like, how can you plug yourself on the show and just tell people to look out for you? Do you have a website? Do you have a Twitter?
It's hard, actually. Since I've been here, I don't have much of an online social presence. Track two.
Here
so we're going to put on track two.
What's the name of the song?
This one, you're going to remember it. It's one of Alex Hobbs.
Oh, great.
Tracks. I decided
it's a song that I produced, actually.
It's a song that he produced. I thought, why not kiss a little bit of ass while I'm here?
You got the gig. You got the gig.
One that Nikki produced. So I think we're pulling that up right now.
Here it comes.
Try to shake it off and wake up numb. If I don't think about it, let my brain shut down. Go to a movie by myself. There are times I just can't help me to be alone. Thoughts trickling down, start erupting on my mind. 40-30 thought about it. Maybe I'm in love. I don't know what it feels like. I know that it's all I can do. Just confused by feelings. Cause I've been wrong about everything. What makes this time any different? I really won't lose it. I know that it's so hard for you to stay. Oh,
That was awesome. I was trying to find the applause button.
Oh my god!
I accidentally hit some guy that was laughing his ass off.
Oh, easy, there we go.
There.
This Windows Media Player.
The show
crazy.
Almost went down the toilet there for a second. Save our soul. So anyway,
such a long sound effect.
It was. It's a long toilet.
Such a long.
It is.
So I want to apologize. Apparently, I was told during the music break I had stolen one of Sean's jokes about Ebola. So just the people listening out there.
That was Sean Jones.
That was Sean Jones.
That's
joke.
Great. I want to credit it.
We were discussing traffic outside before the show started, and he had offhandedly said, Ebola caused the traffic. And it apparently gone into my head.
You too.
Unbeknownst to me, I spit it back.
Get a room, you too.
So I wanted to apologize.
That's really noble.
Put it out there.
I really...
Thank you.
It was a clever bit, and I hacked it.
Is that not a bit, or what's it called? If there's like a bit, a set, a joke, you know, in terms of what is that?
It was probably just be a joke.
Okay, a joke. Because there's a joke and then a bit.
A bit's a little more, longer, a little extended.
And then what's after that? Like a whole
episode?
Set.
A routine?
A bit is like a whole thing. Like if you have a whole bit about giraffes, that's my giraffe bit. It's like several jokes about giraffes. That's or the zoo. Bit. My zoo bit.
Your zoo bit. He's got some good bits.
I have a good zoo bit.
See, what I love about this dynamic, it's like what Dave Chappelle says about it. It's like every comedian wants to be a musician, and every musician thinks they're funny.
That's true.
I mean, just watch any concert and watch a musician between songs.
Oh, yeah. They just think
awful.
they're just awful. Super funny. I try to just say, stick with the fucking stats. That's it.
Just go straight in the music. Just song to song to song. They're there to see you sing. They don't care about you talking.
That's true.
That's what every musician should learn. That.
Yeah, that's like
they should teach that music school. They should have a class in music school about what to do.
Don't make jokes.
What to do between
sets.
Keep
that to comedians.
And it should be one thing on the piece of paper. Nothing.
What about comedians walking up with like crazy fucking music? Like they made the fucking music. They walk on like, yeah, dude, that's my fucking track.
That's usually the sound guy plays music between comics because you don't want dead air.
Well, you don't think the comics are like, hey man, I need you to play.
You can request a song.
Some do.
I've never requested a song to be played.
I've seen it.
It's not the same.
All right, thank you for playing a track that I produced and you mixed. Absolutely, you did a great job on that track. Alex Hobbs, check out his Kickstarter, check out his website. The record will be out soon. So tell me what stuff you're working on currently.
Currently, I have one client that I work for named Jam in the Van. That what they do is they go around the country to different music festivals and record bands in a van.
That's awesome.
Yeah. They put the whole band inside a van?
They put the whole band inside of a van and record it. And then they send me the audio to mix it.
And he's mixed some pretty big bands. Tom, who's some of the bands you've mixed?
Spin Doctors, Blues Traveler.
Well, the Spin Doctors live in a van now, though.
Yeah.
So...
That makes it convenient.
That makes it much more convenient.
That was good, too.
Thanks. How big is the van? Just a standard, like, regular van?
It's not very big. I mean, it's, you know...
It's not like a Winnebago or a bus. It's just a standard, like,
kidnapper, windowless van. No, I mean, it's like a Winnebago.
Okay.
It's like,
but Jam and the Winnebago just didn't have that, sassy name.
No, it makes sense. I was trying to picture putting all those instruments into a small van. Like, how...
Yeah, I saw a clip of you... who did you record? You did... It was Spin Doctors with John Popper, right?
Yeah, there was actually a Spin Doctors with John Popper.
And you showed me a clip also of Gary Clark Jr., I think, was one of the people, and it was awesome. Like, really cool stuff. Did you bring something that we can...
I actually did. That was one of the other tracks.
What's the other one? Andrew
Duhon.
Andrew Duhon.
He's a great jazz musician, actually, based down in New Orleans.
He's not a jazz
And this was recorded
He's not a jazz... This was recorded in a van.
Slash Winnebago.
And see, I want to see who can name this tune first.
Okay.
Because it's a very popular tune.
What track is it? One?
Or one.
Three? Okay, here we go. Sorry. Here we go.
What was this? Name That Tune?
Name That Tune.
You can tell by the way I use my walk.
I'm a ladies' man.
Staying Alive.
I'm a woman's man.
Got it right
That's
there.
Right.
Staying Alive.
What did you say?
I'm a ladies' man. I just did the next lyric.
I've been kicked around since I was born. When it's all right, it's okay. You can look the other way. We can try to understand New York Times effect on man. Whether you're a mother, whether you're a brother, we're staying alive, staying alive. See the city shaking and everybody's taking. We're staying up, staying alive. Well, I staying alive. Oh, 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 oh. You can tell by the way I use my walk, I'm a woman's man, no time to talk. Music loud and women warm, I've been kicked around since I was born. But it's alright, it's alright, it's okay. You can look the other way, we can try to understand New York Times effect on man. Whether you're a mother or whether you're a brother, we're staying alive, staying alive. See the city's shaking, everybody's taking. We're staying alive, staying alive. I staying alive. Oh, oh. I'm going nowhere. Somebody help me. Yeah. I'm going nowhere. Somebody help me if you can.
That was super bad.
Staying alive.
Yeah.
Staying alive.
Staying alive.
It's very cool. So tell us more about this jam in the van. They go around to festivals and just kind of nab artists.
Yeah, they were just at a Telluride Blues and Brews Fest up in Colorado. So the guys had a lot of fun. I don't know if you guys were aware, but there are certain substances that have become legal.
That's right. Colorado. There.
Yeah.
They I've must have been Papa John sales have gone through the roof there.
That's the only way that's you can't eat, that's the only way that you can eat that pizza. You're
not joking.
No, Peyton Manning bought a bunch of some chains of Papa John's before he went to when he went to Denver, and he said when that thing that ordinance passed in 2012, like since then it's like skyrocketed.
Do you think it's just Papa John's or just like
I would say any of that type of food is probably but he said their sales have gone through the roof since that became legal, which makes total sense.
Totally. It's like, dude, let's get a pizza. Mm. Yeah, it sounds great. That's my stoner voice.
All your stoner guys sound the same.
Dude, we sound exactly alike. I know.
I'm not weird. Good at impressions. That was a killing track, man. Killing version.
Yeah, it's, tracks like that are super easy to mix. When you got a great vibe, it's like the tracks mix themselves, and that's right. What... I feel lucky when I'm able to work on a track like that. You know, you don't have to search very far to find to make it sound good.
What's your approach when you're mixing a song? Like, you just get all these stems of recording tracks. How do you put it all together?
I go with the great Led Zeppelin engineer producer John Glenn's, where he just says very bluntly, turn the good shit up and the bad shit down.
I like that.
Makes total
like
sense. That. Makes totally. Total sense.
So, yeah, I try to find the essence of what a tune is and make that very prominent. And if it's a track with lots and lots of stems, I'll always turn the stuff down that I don't think is as important.
And you're playing, you play a weekly gig at, go ahead and tell
Yeah, I actually also play drums still 4 nights a week at a steakhouse in Beverly Hills, Mastro Steakhouse.
You know, give us the address.
Cannon Drive. It's something Cannon Drive.
Something Cannon
Drive. How much is a steak there?
Steaks start at $50 a piece.
Jesus. I'm in the wrong business, Eddie.
And it's probably just the steak. There's probably nothing.
That's a la carte.
It's just the steak.
But the sides there are, if anyone goes, some things you have to get: the butter cake, absolutely to die for, and then also the lobster mashed potatoes.
I've had the lobster mashed potatoes, yeah. And I attested that. I don't know if I've had the butter cake.
You don't want to know what's in it, but okay. There's at least one stick of butter.
Oh, God.
For the butter cake.
That's intense.
$50 steak.
So you play there what time? What was it, Wednesday through Saturday?
Actually, starting next week, we're going Tuesday through Friday. So but we play there from 8 to 12, and we play all your favorites.
Some jazz holes?
We're blues holes, but doesn't have as good of a ring. You know?
No, it doesn't. But it's still cool. It's still cool. Yeah. So, where can people find you on Twitter or Facebook? I know you're kind of incognito. You're like a spy.
Yeah, I actually don't do Facebook, or I have a Twitter account.
Tell us why you don't do Facebook.
Why don't I do Facebook? Well, it all started when I wanted to see who my real friends were, and so I saw who I was actually still. Who was still contacting me if I wasn't on Facebook, and who I was actually contacting too. And I've just been lucky to where I have work and have a social life to where I don't need to try to make it bigger through Facebook or social media like that.
And you said you have a Twitter.
I do have a Twitter.
What's your Twitter?
At Sean_Jones.
All right. And do you have a website for your
studio? I do have a website. Well, not for the studio. I do have a personal website.
What's your personal website?
www.seanpjones.net, and that's S-E-A-N, proper Irish way.
S-E-A-N. Sean.
Sean. Sean Flaherty. Sean Jones. Just kidding. SeanpJones.net, correct? .net. All right, so you have to check him out. You have to get him to be your next drummer in your next session or your next engineer for your next
record. How many things has he engineered for you?
How many have you done? I think you've done 3 artists that I've worked with.
Yeah, at least 2 or 3.
Okay.
Anybody we've had?
We have not had anybody. We're going to have Alex.
You going to get Karen on the show?
Yeah, I'll get her on the show at some point.
Great.
But she just moved, so it's going to be harder.
A little bit more difficult.
Yes, a little bit more difficult. But let's get to your next track. What are you going to play for your third track?
This last track is by a hip-hop artist named Ashes that both Ethan and I worked on the project. And this is just a really fun track for me to mix, and it was on his debut album Super ID Ego.
Cool. Right, and then, you know what, Ethan was actually supposed to be a guest.
He was
tonight,
but he's in Las Vegas right now.
Vegas.
Knowing Ethan, partying out of control. Probably a lot.
Cocaína.
Of, yeah.
All right, here we go.
The yeho man. Yeho.
I'm 19 years old, and my boyfriend never listens, even when I say no. His castle was my prison. I wear a crown of thorns and a satin robe of denial to survive the storm. He calls me out my name, but I swear if I try harder, then I can stop the pain. That's not how it works. His jealousy mixed with irk and jerk drives him berserk. Then he takes it out on me. Lord, how could this be? Maybe I deserved it. Our lives ain't picture perfect, and at times I feel worthless, but to me it's worth it. Yeah, he puts his hands on me, but he always says he's sorry. Most times it don't bother me. He loves me, mommy. Mike, roses are red, my eyes black and blue. All my friends tell me I shouldn't go back to you. I love you something different when it's harshly spoken, like 1,000 little pieces when my heart gets broken.
Girl, why you look so sad? Tears on your eyes.
doing, but her life all crazy. I don't know what make her boyfriend show his love with his hands, but she won't leave his area. I just don't understand. She call me like mama, why love feel like this? I try to tell her, baby, love don't come from a fist. See, at least twice a week we end up in ERs. All the doctors and nurses know who we are. The police and paramedics know us by name. Neighbors talk bad about us and won't treat us the same. See, they got a son together, but he stays with me. Ask Nana, why the kids don't want to play with me? How come I have to move to your house right down the street? Cause there's things at home, baby, I don't want you to see. I hide the truth, cause some things just shouldn't be said. Denise better leave us there, but she end up dead. This, honestly, I don't know what make me get like this. This woman carried my seed, I mean she's down for me. Despite my faults, I mean this woman's really down for me. I go upside ahead, cops wanna treat me like a crook. She lead a hospital and go and put money on my books. I'm in a room full of mirrors and all I see is her pain and her standing at the center, but it's me to blame. How could I hit my baby's mother like I ain't watch my pops beat my mom's ass? Just me and my baby brother. The hypocrisy is crazy, the jealousy runs deep. Got me breaking house windows where my family sleeps. Got me throwing food in the garbage that my family eats. Got me locked in a 6x9, understand me please. I'm sorry for every time I've ever cursed or yelled. I raise my hand, now I'm in it, cause I gave you hell.
Girl, why you look so sad?
There we go.
Nice. Very cool track. Job well done. You didn't play your applause. I didn't have to.
Well, because I'm busy trying to fade things down. There we go.
Sean, it was awesome to have you as a guest on the radio show.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Plug your website one more time.
Yeah, SeanPJones.net. www.seanpjones.net.
Well, it's been a pleasure to have you here. Especially when Nikhil wasn't here. It was a big pleasure.
Yeah, he was trying to take my job. See?
Well, I think he did. You're fired.
That's it? Just like that?
Anyway, thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Zoinks. Yep, to the Eddie and Sean show.
I like it better. Yeah. I like it much better.
Fuck you.
Anyway, that's been Wake Up Hollywood. Thank you, guys. Follow us on Twitter @HollywoodWakeUp. Bye.